Welcome back to Current State here for Monday. I'm Mark Bayshore. For 21 years, our next guest has served as the Drain Commissioner of Ingham County. Patrick Lindemann is a Lansing native who spent his entire life in the area. As Drain Commissioner, Lindemann's responsible for the operation of Ingham County storm drains and related issues, including lake levels and soil erosion. Pat Lindemann has earned a reputation as an environmental advocate. That's put him at odds with developers, entrepreneurs, and municipal officials eagerly pursuing business development. It's also put him at odds with taxpayers who foot the bill for drains and other infrastructure projects. Nonetheless, voters returned him to office in 2012 for the fifth straight time after deflecting an extraordinary primary challenge from longtime County Commissioner Mark Grebner. And to discuss his work and a few of the projects he's currently involved in, Current State welcomes Pat Lindemann.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you for coming in. How did you become Drain Commissioner in the first place?
Well, I became involved in politics in the 1970s, and I had a Boy Scout troop in 1970, and the neighborhood, I owned and operated a meat market, and they came in, some neighborhood representatives came in and asked me to run for city council. And I said, well, do I have a few months to think about it? And they said, yeah, but that's it. And well, that night I was talking about citizenship and the community merit badge with my Boy Scout troop, and I thought to myself, this is not good.
Somebody held your feet to the fire.
Yeah, so the next morning I called him up, said, I'm your guy. I won. I was on city council for 12 years, and my love of water, fly fishing, water quality, clean air, and all the other things that make a higher quality of life for us was of high interest to me.
Why do you think you have managed to be elected five times now?
Probably because I'm not afraid to do the right thing, and I don't try to pacify people. Let me put it this way. There's 2 million miles of pipe, concrete pipe, in the 48 continental states. 80% of it's over 100 years old. We're not far away from being a third world country if we let our infrastructure die. There are four things you have to have a city. You have to have a place to flush your toilet, a place to put your storm water, consistent source of clean, reliable drinking water, and a transportation system of some kind. You take one of those away, you can't have a city. Mm-hmm. And I have something to do with all four of those. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting position in that the quality of life for our citizens is directly related to the quality of our infrastructure. And to me, that's a very important thing. I'm dedicated to it. I think the public understands my sincerity with it. And I'm not afraid to think out of the envelope. In fact, I'm not quite sure I was ever in the envelope, but, I'm always thinking outside of it.
It's easy to be outside the envelope if you've never got in it in the first place.
It's true. So I don't have, a history of being in it.
Were you listening to NPR this morning by any chance? There was an extraordinary segment on a guy who is revered in India for the work that he's doing. I believe he's created and sold toilets. Sewage in India is an immense problem. And sure. I found myself, it was ironic you should be on here today, but I found myself just obsessed with this story. This is one guy mm-hmm. who has played this apparently immeasurable role in improving mm-hmm. the quality of life sure. in India just over his creation of these very simple latrine-like toilets almost. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about Lansing here. Let's talk about what appears to be the most publicized project you're involved in right now, the Montgomery Drain Project, mm-hmm. which is also part of the Red Cedar Renaissance, the Joel Ferguson CAS project at the site of the old Red Cedar Golf Course. You and others, I believe, have maintained this project and opportunities to significantly improve the quality of the Red Cedar River. How exactly? And what have you proposed for that site?
Let's understand the issue first is that the Red Cedar River isn't a natural river. It was a smaller, narrower creek during the 1800s and 1700s. And in 1887, I believe the date was, could have been 1897, the then drain commissioners received a Cedar Swamp dredging petition. And they dredged the Red Cedar River from Williamston all the way to its headwater. And from that dredging came Wolf Creek, Swan, a variety of other drains, and so on. Sometime in the late 1900s, we spent a great deal of time trying to understand the quality of the Red Cedar River. And we examined 236 outlets and looked at all the water coming out. And then we looked at the watersheds of each sub-watershed. And we found that there is no smoking gun. There is no single thing you can do to make the Red Cedar River cleaner. It is, by definition, a product of non-point source pollution. And that means that every single acre of land contributes something to its unhealthiness. It's improved a great deal in the last 20 years, I would say. But out of those 236 outlets, the Montgomery drain coming off of Frandor was the most polluted. And the reason for the pollution in that particular water system is that it's about 80% impervious. I parked my car in front of Joann Fabrics in Frandor.
Meaning that 80% of the rainwater that hits it ends up
a hard surface.
Into the Red Cedar eventually?
That's correct. It hits a hard surface and it winds up in the river relatively fast, carrying with it everything that's on the parking lot, all of the rubber from tires, oil, whatever else is on it, it's gone. It flushes it clean. I put some orange dye in a catch basin in front of Joann Fabric and Frandor, got in my car and drove down to Kalamazoo Street, parked in the Ball Diamond parking lot, walked over to the river, and at that point the dye was already in the river. Mm. That's how fast the water runs off that watershed. The concept, when we looked at that, I've been looking at it since 1995, and we've been trying to put together some scenarios in which we could actually fix all of that and help the river. If we could eliminate that point and then attack the other 200 and some points of discharge and make them all cleaner too over time, we should have a really stellar river. I mean, just an extraordinary water resource for our community.
Does the project involve raising up? I am led to believe that part of the project involves raising up or building up significant parts of
The water
golf
system,
course.
That's right. To make this project function and have multiple facets of benefit is that we have to make some sort of an economic development opportunity happen there. It's a depressed area. It's the 1950 buildings. They all, we did a survey, for example, of the customers at Frandor. This was about 6 or 7 years ago. And we found that a small, very small percentage of the customers at Frandor are MSU students. And they're right across the street. There are 42,000 customers across the street, but nobody goes to Frandor. Why? Well, if you put that together with the imperviousness and trying to manage the water, we wind up with a joint project whereby the city, the voters of the city, with a 70% affirmative vote, said sell off part of that golf course and develop it and let Lindemann do his job and clean up the water. So I'm going to interrupt the flow of the water. It's going to be integrated in and around the whole development that's to come, and it's going to be integrated within the development that's already there. So Frandor, for example, or where the bowling alley is to the north and the Days Inn and all the other commercial sites will all have integrated surface water management, such as waterfalls. There'll be some open creeks. We're going to daylight this water, clean it, polish it, interrupt its flow, store it, and then put it on the golf course through the new development and make it something that probably is going to be a regional destination place.
Is everybody on the same page on this thing right now? I know
everybody.
Early last year you told the Lansing City, and this is early 13, not 14, early last year you told the Lansing City Pulse you thought the city wanted total control of the plan to upgrade the Montgomery drain. And I know that generated some tension. Is mm-hmm. everybody on the same page now?
Everybody's on the exact same page. We had some struggles with trying to put together a development team and the city's understanding of what the petition process was for Public Act 40, the drain code. And everybody is on board. The mayor is on board. The county commissioners are on board. City council is on board.
What will it cost?
Pardon?
What will it cost?
The drain project? I'm not sure. We haven't designed it yet. But somewhere between $5 and $20 million. The private investment numbers that we're looking at if we do the economic development project along with this, the first hit's going to be over $150 million, and there's more to come after that. You're looking at the potential of $300 million just from this development. Then, if you take the rebuilding of Frandor that already exists, you could look at remodeling some of those properties in there could equal or surpass $200 million in the next 20 years.
So you're saying it's more than affordable?
It's more than affordable.
Now, I'm told there's a – who gets assessed here, though? I'm told there's a June 18th hearing. You know, Patrick Kaur's lawsuit is all about who pays the freight here.
That's right.
And I'm told there's a June 18th hearing involving that lawsuit. Is it clear in your mind how the cost to this should be assessed?
Oh, it's a crystal clear in my mind. The municipals get the bill. What's not clear is that what the municipals do with it. So City of Lansing, Lansing Township, the State Highway Department, the county for purposes of county roads, and East Lansing all get some percentage. I don't know what the percentages are yet because we haven't designed the project, but there will be a determination of that percentage. Each municipality, the East Lansing, Lansing Township, and City of Lansing, have the ability within the law to then assess that to the property owners within the district. So if the City of Lansing chooses to take their portion, whatever that portion might be, and this is not the amount, but let's just say that it's 65%. And if they paid 25% of that 65, then the balance could be assessed to the properties. If you had a $20 million project, which is a number that I'm using, but it's not really a real number because I don't
know
what it's going to
be. You think it's going to be lower than that?
I think it's going to be lower than that. It could be a little higher. I don't know. But if you use that number and talked about those percentages and then added up just the commercial square footage within that watershed, you're talking less than a penny a square foot.
Our guest is Pat Lindeman, Ingham County Drain Commissioner, ex-County Commissioner Mark Grebner, who ran against you for the position last time, and others, I believe, have alleged that you don't estimate the cost of these projects accurately enough and that these assessments on property owners turn out higher than anticipated as a result. That has been a problem, hasn't it?
It's not true. I don't know how else to answer. It's not true. I don't estimate anything. I'm telling you that it could be 20, it could be 5, it could be 23. I don't know. We haven't designed it. You won't know until after we design it. Public Act 40 is a kind of a quirky law. It has in it a process to have a project, and then once you have the project, you have to go through this design process. Well, until you can't design it before you have a project. So I have to wait till I get the petitions for the project, and then I design it, and then after I design it, we go to bid, and I can tell you what it's going to cost at that point.
I mean, you've been on the job for 21 years, though. I think your critics would probably point to instances in the past where this is played out.
Just not true.
This way.
None of their instances that they've used, Mark Grebner's used, or anyone else has used, just aren't true.
I do want to...
But here's an interesting thing.
Sure.
I use low-impact design elements, which are there's dozens of different kinds of descriptions for low-impact design. Let's take the toll gate drain, for example. If I was to move the water from the toll gate drain, which is a Grosbeck neighborhood in Lansing Township, if I took the water, they separated the sewers up there, took the sanitary out of it, and then I took the stormwater to the river, which is a traditional method for doing that, it would have been 22 point something million. Instead, we rebuilt the golf course on the City of Lansing, Grosbeck Golf Course, and then we built a wetland complex to hold the water, 6.3 million. There's $18 million savings. Now, how is that a bad thing? My opponents keep telling me, well, you spent $6.3 million. Okay, yeah. I could have spent 20, 22 or 23 or 24, depending on the route for the water. The point is that my projects are designed to do several things. One, and certainly not the most important, and two, certainly not the most important, but they're all equally as important is my point, and that is to improve the management of water such that the quantity and the quality does no harm. So we improve the quality of the water, we store it so that nobody floods, and then we manage it in a way which is cost-effective. We pinch every penny we can, and we get the lowest price for the biggest bang for the buck that we can possibly do. And every one of my projects have proved that out. The Tower Rain Gardens, for example, it's the largest rebuilt subdivision, 1923 platted subdivision, with dilapidated infrastructure. There's not one flooding incident in that neighborhood since we built our project. And before that, the neighborhood was consistently flooded. Backyards were inundated with water. Intersections were underwater. I've spent there's two separate drainage projects there. One was $2 million and the other one was $7-something. And those two projects combined just under $10 million. The traditional method of putting big pipes in the ground and handling that water would have been $21 million. We saved over half the cost of traditional methods. And it's true with every single project that I've done. I'm in the process of working with Delhi Township on the Green Number 4, completing that. We just started construction this week. That's $5.5 million. The traditional method of handling and managing that stormwater, according to the Black Engineering book of yesterday, would have been somewhere in the vicinity of about $15 to $20 million.
One more Grebnerism and we'll move on. When costs grow after a project is started, often for outside legal and engineering work, Grebner claimed these typically go to firms and people who end up contributing to your election campaigns. And I do believe public records show you've outside contracted Clark Hill, Hubbard Law, Dickinson Wright, LSG Engineers, mm-hmm. Wilkinson Engineering, and others. And all those entities or individuals are also contributors to your campaign. Mm-hmm. Any qualms about that?
No, none at all. In fact, I hire people that I mostly hire people that are good at what they do. If I need a good wetland person, I hire that person. I didn't know them before. Their reputation precedes them. Their science and their resumes all look really good, so I hire them. After that, if they want to donate to my campaign, they do. Mr. Grebner said to me one time, he says, well, you hire your friends. They were not my friends when I hired them. But I'm a likable guy, and we became friends. So am I supposed to not hire them because they're the best in the business because we are now friends? I mean, how does that work? Most people get criticized for hiring one firm and putting all their money into one place where they get, they call that some kind of graph or just you're buttering up somebody's whatever. I have over 14 different law firms that I use. I have engineering firms. I have well over 12 that I use. I don't put all my eggs in one, or the taxpayers' eggs in one basket.
As Grebner would say, that's to generate more support. Well, yeah. That's what a cynic would say.
Well, then Mr. Grebner's a cynic. What can I say?
You're not a young guy. How long do you want to be drain commissioner?
As long as the public thinks that I'm doing the right job.
You see yourself doing it indefinitely, really?
Well, I'd like to run one more time.
Run one more, okay.
At least one more time. It could be two.
Okay. Patrick Lindemann is the Ingham County Drain Commissioner. We appreciate your being here.
Well, thank you
Thanks
so much.
Thanks a lot.